Thank you all for coming. I know it's a very full day. The shiur, of course, is in memory of my mother, Yehudit Dreisel, Bat Eliezer, Alana Shalom. The topic of the shiur is the question of the financial obligation of Kibbutz Av Em. There are sources here for anybody who doesn't have. The question becomes, who is obligated to pay for this important mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Em? The topic is, of course, close to my father's heart, the financial aspect of any mitzvah. Generally, when it comes to mitzvahs, you pay for them. You buy lulav, you buy matzah. The question becomes, though, whether or not one is obligated to pay for the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Em, or maybe the obligation is on the parent to pay, and the child is only required to serve the parents, but so for example, the father says he'd like some orange juice, so the son should offer to go to the store and to buy the orange juice and serve the orange juice, but the money for the orange juice would come from the parents. So that's the question the Gemara has in Kedushin here, the Talmud Beis Amud Aleph. Mishal Mi, says the Gemara, source number one. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishal Ben. The child is obligated to pay for the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Em. Rav Nosson Bar Oshi Amar Mishal Av. Rav Nosson Bar Oshi says, no, the parents pay, the son is obligated to be involved, to serve the parents, but not to pay for the mitzvah. That's the debate here in the Gemara Kedushin of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara concludes, Orle Rabbanan Lerav Yirmiyah, Rabbanan Paskin for Yirmiyah, Amilei Levrei Rav Yirmiyah, and some say for the Rav Yirmiyah's son, they told him, the rabbis told him, Kemanda Amar Mishal Av. So the Hachra, the Gemara, the conclusion of the Gemara seems to be the obligation of Kibbutz Av Em, the financial obligation, thank you, of Kibbutz Av Em, is incumbent upon the parent. The child is responsible only to be involved practically, but not to actually lay out money to pay for the mitzvah. That's a pretty clear conclusion in the Gemara Kedushin. And the Yerushalmi, the impression you get is the opposite is true. The Yerushalmi writes, source number two, Tanya Rav Shimon Yochai, Godel Kibbutz Av Em. Kibbutz Av Em is such a great mitzvah. It's so great, Shehidifu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosem Yichvodo. It's even greater than honoring God. How so? Ne'emar Kan Kavedes Avicha Vatimecha. It says you should honor your parents. Ne'emar L'Hala, and it says in Mishlei, Kavedes Hashem Yihoncha. Honor God from your finances, from your money. But Me'at HaMechabda, how do you honor God with your money? Mafrish leket shicho peya, you pay for mitzvahs, you give tzedakah, and oseh sukkah, velula, v'shofar, I'm skipping a little bit, you pay for mitzvahs, most mitzvahs cost money. So the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, that you're supposed to pay for mitzvahs, but, im yesh lecha, I'm reading the fourth line of source number two, in the middle of the line, im yesh lecha chai, if you have money, you'll buy a lulav. But if you don't have money, you're not obligated to buy a lulav. That's the halacha. Generally speaking, today people live in affluent society, but theoretically you're not obligated to spend more than a fifth of your savings for a mitzvah. So if you're very poor, you're impoverished, and buying tefillin, let's say, which represents a mitzvah, would be more than a fifth of your savings. Let's say you're in debt, which most people who are impoverished are in debt. So it could have been their pleasure from buying tefillin. It's a pretty amazing halacha. Today most people wouldn't necessarily just pass them themselves. They'd probably go to shul and try to borrow tefillin or try to go to gemach, but Mikra is in your potter from paying for a mitzvah if you're impoverished. But, as the Gemara, that's true when it comes to other mitzvahs. About Shubai to Kibbutz Av Em, third line from the bottom, source number two, when it comes to Kibbutz Av Em, ben yesh lo ben ein lo, kaved hasavicha v'esimecha. If you have money, or if you don't have money, you're obligated to honor your parents. How do you do that? If you don't have money, how do you honor your parents? Afilu mesavev ala psachim, you have to go beg stock of money in order to support your parents. So the Yerushalmi seems to imply that the obligation is on the son, A, and B, it's to such an extent that you're even obligated to go collect money from Staka in order to be able to support your parents. And then the Yerushalmi concludes, Asr of Yaakov bar Acha, Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Rav Shem of Yonasan, Shekolfin es ha-ben lazunet avi. Not only is the child obligated to collect tzedakah, the child even needs to, it can even be forced to do so. Amar Yossi halavai having called shmuasin bririn kihada shekolfin es ha-ben lazunet av. Halavai, all mitzvahs should be as clear as this mitzvah, that you force a child to support his parents. So
what's the point, Halavai?
Halavai, Havin Kol Shmati. Halavai, all my learning would be as clear, Bririn, it should be as clear, Kahada, like this statement, Shekobin Esapen, Lazun Esav. It's an obvious statement, it's clear, it's, it's unequivocal. So the Yerushalmi seems to conclude that, in fact, the Chiyuv is on the child, so much so that the child is obligated not only to lay out money from his pocket, but if he doesn't have money, he has to go collect money, and he can be forced to do so in order to support his parents. So we have a debate here between the Bavli and the implication of the Yerushalmi. Not all the Mepharshim agree to this, but we have a debate. Is the Chiyuv of Kiyuv without aim? Is it Mishal Ben? Does the child have to pay for the mitzvah, or is it Mishal Av? The Bavli says clearly it's Mishal Av. The Yerushalmi, this is the way the Maharit learns the Yerushalmi, the simple understanding of the Yerushalmi is that there's a chiyuv on the child to support the parent as part of the mitzvah of Kibud Av.
Does the Yerushalmi reject the Hekesh of Kibud Shamayim to support Kibud Av?
The Yerushalmi quotes the Hekesh. Does the Bavli reject it?
No, I'm saying that by distinguishing between Mehoncha.
Yeah. Well, you could pick this hekesh in one of two ways. You could say the Yerushalmi is taking it and saying it's more than honcha. For a regular mitzvah, you have to pay if you have. If you don't have, you don't pay. For this mitzvah, you have to pay even if you don't have. You could have the Bible quotes this din of kavedah shem honcha as a raya for the man amar of Yishal ben, and then it rejects it. So apparently, the Rambam comes over here. Apparently, you don't have to learn this hekesh as being telling of this halacha. That's the Yerushalmi's take on. So we have a debate here whether the chiyuv, the obligation of keeping up the aim, is incumbent upon the child, just like you buy lulav, you have to buy a drink for your father or your mother, or it's on the parents. The parents pay for it. The child is only obligated to be misharet the father, but not to pay for the mitzvah. So the first question that we have to analyze is how extreme is this machlokes. The simple understanding is that the Yerushalmi holds the Man Amar holds Mishal Ben holds it's a mitzvah on the son and only on the son. Even if the father is a millionaire, there's no obligation for the father to lay out the money for his own oranges. And the Man Amar says Mishal Av says only obligation on the father. The father has no money, so that's it. He starves. There's no mitzvah on the son to support his father. And that is, like I said, the simple understanding, it's extreme machlokes. The Rimilaniel, for example, source number 3 assumes that way. Mishal Ben, Afal Pishi Yesh Mama Ma'av, even if your father is Bill Gates, there's no chiyuv on the father to spend any money for this mitzvah. That is the opinion of the Man Amar Mishal Ben. And in contrast, the Man Amar Mishal Av holds the father always has to pay for it. Even if the father is poor, there's no mitzvah on the son to pay for the mitzvah. As you can, I guess it's intuitive, it's a bit hard to justify such an extreme approach to this machlokes. There are mefarshim who assume that it's not as extreme as it may as it seems. So if the first approach is a kitsoniya approach, it's an extreme approach, for example, the Rigmi Lamiel, as I quoted in source number 3, he assumes it's an extreme approach, but others disagree. So source number 4, the Chazanish, writes, Mistaber, Dafilu Man Amar Mishal Ben, even if the mitzvah is on the child to pay for the orange juice, and if Dafka Vashay Ein Mola Av, it's only if the father can't afford the orange juice. So what the Chazanish does, essentially, is he pulls this in this direction. He says, listen, even the Man Amar says the son has to pay for the orange juice, that's only if Ein Ma'av. If the father doesn't have money, then the son has to take up the slack. But all things being equal, even the Man Amar Mishal Ben says if the father has money, he should pay for his own orange juice. That's the opinion of the Chazanish. And it, likewise, the Tosfos, source number 5, seems to pull the opposite direction. It says Tosfos in Kedushin on Beis, Hecha de lesle la'av islahu ben. Tosfos says if the father doesn't have money, but the son has money, chayef ben lasun is aviv. So even though Tosfos is working with the Man Amar Mishal Av, Tosfos says that even though the obligation is on the father to pay for his own orange juice, if he doesn't have money, so then the son has to pay for it. So what's going on here is that people are pulling in both directions. The Chazon Ish is saying the man amar mishal ben doesn't mean the son always has to pay. It just means that the son, the father doesn't have money. And likewise, Tosfos says the man amar mishal av doesn't mean the father always has to pay. It's only if the father has money. If he doesn't have money, then the son has to pay. So what's going on here is that we're limiting the base significantly. And again, if you would hold both of the Chazon Ish and a Tosfos, there would be no debate, right? Because if one of our says the son has to pay, but only if the father doesn't have, and the other one of our says the father has to pay, but only if he has, so then there's no debate at all. So you can't hold up all these shitas, but the Tosfos is pulling it in this direction, right? Mishal av im yeshlo. But if not, right? Im Engla Nishal Ben.
Is it helpful for us to say, look, Chazon Ish sat down, knew the Tosfos, and he simply took what we would have gotten, I would have gotten that more reasonable approach.
Right. I mean, you're making an important point.
Is that helpful?
It's hard to justify these two approaches. How Chazon Ish read the Tosfos is an interesting question because, you know, of course he knew the Tosfos, so obviously he had a different read of it. But what's going on here is methodologically is that it's hard to justify extreme approach. They both want to limit it. The Aruch HaShulchan says an amazing thing. The Aruch HaShulchan limits it almost totally. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that either extreme is impossible, and he almost says both two and three together. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes, verse number 6, L'char Eina Muvan. How can it be that the sisters debate? Yimanavshach. If the father can afford the orange juice, my time man amar mishal ben. Why should the son pay for the oranges if the father has money? If the father doesn't have orange juice, doesn't have money, my time my the man amar mishal av. Why should? Of course, the son has to pay for it. To say if the father is poor, he can't afford the juice, the son shouldn't lay out the money on his own. Father in svara cloud, it can't be. So it's obvious that, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that if the father has money, he should pay, and if the father doesn't have the money, the son should pay. So what's the debate? What's the debate in the Gemara? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a very interesting suggestion. He limits the case to one specific case. Efshar lomar, kigon she'aviv hukili ve'eino tzar v'mono. The father has money, but he's very stingy. Ve'eino rosa lis parnes mishalo. He doesn't want to spend money on orange juice. He wants orange juice, but he doesn't want to spend money on himself. If somebody has money and it's too cheap to spend the money, he has a psychological, you know, issue. So we don't give him charity because he's wealthy. There are people, you know, who read the paper. If people die, they have $1 million under the mattress. So the question is, he's not well, right? So the question is, do you have a chiv to give him tzedakah? Maybe you should try to offer him, you know, psychological help. But you don't have a chiv to get paid for his oranges if he can afford his own oranges. Kabbashi is barred with him in Reishin Gimel. So it says the Aruch HaShulchan, the whole debate is limited to a very specific case. If the father has money, of course he should pay for his own oranges. And if the son has money, and if the father doesn't have money, of course the son should pay for his father's oranges. The whole debate is in this one unique case where the father has money, but he's too stingy to pay for it. So in that case, there's a question, should the son pay for it or not? And that's the debate. It's a very extreme. It's hard to imagine that exactly that's what they're actually arguing about because it would appear somewhere in the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like it's a debate, not a good case. But that's what the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say. Just methodologically, what the Aruch HaShulchan does is basically accept the Chazon Ish and the Tosfos and limits the case to a very specific, a case of Yesh La'av Ve'eino Rote. The father has money, he's just too cheap to buy the orange juice. He asks for the orange juice. Do you have a chiyuv to give it or not? That's the debate in the Gemara. And interestingly, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, we pass in Mishal Av. We say that there's no obligation. He doesn't want to pay for his own orange juice, even though he can afford it. You have no obligation. But then he says, Yirayli, he concludes, that you should really buy it for him. You should buy him the orange juice, then you should take up the court to get your money back. That's what he suggests. Okay, so I don't know how much Kibbutz aid there is to take your father to court over oranges, but yes.
In the case of the Aruch HaShulchan, the Manav Shach makes sense when you're dealing with something that the father needs. Like, okay, if If he has the money, let him pay for it. If not, the son of course shouldn't have to pay for it. But if we're dealing with something that the son does, the chvod of him, it's not actually necessary.
Right.
You know, visiting him, let's say, far away or something. So you, that I thought, well, might be there. Then Michel Ab would say, yeah, the son should do it if the father can pay for it. And Michel Ben says, no, the son should do it and he should pay for it.
So you're saying it's not as well.
The male stuff, the overshot doesn't apply to that kind of thing.
Okay, so I want to get hopefully that case later, but I hear you saying.
I still don't really understand as far why it's different than any other mitzvah, say, washing the son.
Oh, so that's as far. I want to get that mounted right now. I'm going to get that. Which question?
Why can't you just say the difference is
I don't understand what you're saying. The Tosfos is related to the question of Lechazer al Tzachim, but you're saying what? Therefore,
I'm talking about a case where Hayt is left way
love, right?
Right. What if it's left way love and left way love?
So what would the halacha be in that case?
I mean, the
Yushalmi says clearly, you have to
support himself, right? Why can't that be the difference?
Because so you're saying if they're both poor,
then they have to go
and collect. In economics, I hear you. Okay, so getting back to Josh's question, what's the svara? When it comes to lulav, you buy a lulav. When it comes to matza, you buy a matza. So why should kibud av aim be different? So here, I think there's two opinions in the Mepharshim. One, it's found in source number 7, the Chazanish. The Chazanish writes, the Efshar, the mitzvah's kibud, eino nofel el nesinas mamon. Says the Chazanish, maybe kibud means to serve. The ichaser le lahua, chayavina koli tino tzaka. The father is poor, so everybody has an obligation to give tzaka. Kibud av eim is not tzaka, says the Chazanish. And therefore, the mitzvah is nishalav. Kibud av eim means to serve your parents, not to support your parents. You support anybody who's poor, that's called tzaka. And kibud av eim means to serve. That's what Chazon Ish learned, and Ben Arash pointed out to me that he thinks specific in the Rambam this way. If you look at the Rambam, source number 8, Izeo kibud, what's kibud? Ma'achil, u'mashke, you serve food, u'malvish, you can understand who's paying for it, but if you continue, the Rambam says, u'moti u'machnis, u'mashamsha b'sharet v'arim sharet, shamoshim m'shamshim behenet harav. You have to be like a butler to your parents. A butler doesn't pay for the Jews, he serves the Jews. So it's Beduk in the Rambam, claims to write Ben Darsh, and the Chazanish writes that the mitzvah of Kibud av Eim, according to the man Amar Yishal Av, means to serve. It means to serve, it doesn't mean to support. So again, we want to analyze what the svara is for this mitzvah, for this man Amar Yishal Av. And man Amar Yishal Ben is pretty obvious. Yishal Ben, it's like any other mitzvah. Kechol mitzvah acheres. So on the shall ask, what does he hold? Why is the mitzvah incumbent only upon the father to pay? I mean, the mitzvah comes on the son, but why is the monetary financial responsibility comes on the father? Says the Chazon Ish, because the mitzvah of sherut, the mitzvah of serving. Presumably, the other man Amar says the mitzvah is. Not only Sherut, but the mitzvah of the Sapek Tzrachim, to actually, bring the father the food, and not just to serve the food, but to provide the food, and therefore it's incumbent upon the child to pay for the mitzvah, according to the Mad Amar, Yishal Ben. So this is one svara. Okay? Satisfied?
No.
Okay. Well, I have another svara. Maybe you like that one better. If you look here in the Shut Sam Sofer, it's just part of a quote, but quote number 7, the quote number 9, says, "From sofer pashut zolav dafkim shel av, ela shelo yeh bo chisaron kis leben." This again, he's referencing a Gemara in Bamutzin Aflam Gimel, where the Mishnah there actually speaks about a case where a person lost his wallet, and he wants to go look for his wallet. And at the same time, his father calls him and says, "You should know, I also lost my wallet. Can you go look for my wallet?" So you're caught in a dilemma. You're not sure if you should look for your wallet or for your father's wallet. And the Mishnah there states that you're allowed to look for your own wallet first. Efes ki lo yebacha evyon, says the Gemara, your mammon comes before the mammon of your father. So when it comes to the obligation to serve your father, you're not obligated to lose your own wallet to save your father's wallet. That's what the Gemara says in Bamatsiya, Daflamid Gimel. So one understanding of this Gemara is that the mitzvah of Kibud av Eim is essentially a mitzvah bein Adam l'chaveno. I gave a shira about this a couple of years ago. When I was with this kid, this Adol Chaver Adol Makom, you know, fifth of the Seres HaDibros, question, you know, where it belongs. But generally, when it comes to mitzvahs of Adol Chaver, you're not obligated to spend money to lose money by performing them. You cannot all, obviously, tzedakah, you're supposed to give tzedakah to your friend. But when most mitzvahs of Adol Chaver, there's no obligation within Ephes Kilo Yebuchai Avion to perform the mitzvah if you're going to lose money. But the other one, Amar, Michel Ben might say, it's Adol Makom. Adol Makom, again, you don't have to necessarily subscribe to the terminology, Adol Chaver, Adol Makom. I'm just using it to make it a little clearer. But fundamentally, it could be the debate as to whether or not you have to spend your own money to perform the mitzvah of Kiryat Aim is contingent upon whether or not you look at this mitzvah as being included in the Kederes HaKadosh of Efes Kilo Yebuchai Avion, that you don't have to lose your wallet to find your father's wallet. So in general, maybe you're not obligated to spend money on the mitzvah of Kivud Avim. So there are some Achronim who suggest this idea. So these are two explanations for why let's, again, the Mandal Rishon Ben is pretty obvious. If you spend money on any mitzvah, spend money on Kivud Avim. What's the Sfarach and the Mandal Rishon Av? So either we define the mitzvah as serving, not as providing, A, or B, we define the mitzvah as an Adol Chaver mitzvah, which would be subject to the Gzeres HaKadosh of Efes Kilo Yebuchai Avion. You don't have to spend money, you don't have to lose money to perform this type of mitzvah. So those are two explanations to what the Sfar is for the Man D'Amar Mishal Av. And maybe to illustrate the difference between them, I want to provide one or two nafkaminas. The first nafkamina is something Moti described a minute ago, the story with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was the Rashiv in Volozhin for a while. And he got a telegram from the father of one of the students. He was very unhappy. And the father says, listen, your son is in yeshiva, he's learning Torah, but he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kivud Av Aim. I'm sick, I live in Warsaw, and I want him to come and visit me. And he's not coming, he wants to stay in the yeshiva. So Reb Chaim called in the student in his office, and he says, listen, Kivud Av Aim is an important mitzvah, go visit your father. So the yeshiva student was,
Talmud
Reb Chaim. And he says, listen, the Gemara says the Kedushin, the Lamed Bey, is a Kivud Av Aim, is Michel Av. We paskin that the father, the monetary obligation of Kivud Av Aim, the financial obligation, falls upon the father. And my father doesn't want to pay for the train ticket. So it's Michel Av. If he wants me to come visit him, he should pay for the train ticket. No, he just told me to come. So Reb Chaim said to him, I don't understand. You know what's 2 feet? Walk. If you want to take a train for your own convenience, that's not included in the Gemara. The Gemara says obligation to buy the orange juice. That you have to come from the father's bank account. But for you to get to your father, that's not included in the Gemara. That's what the Reb Chaim told the son. And he said, if you don't want to walk, that's your issue. So you should pay for the train ticket. So even though we paskin, we keep it up in Amy's Michelle, the obligation to spend money to get to your parents falls upon the child. And this is found in print in the Shud HaTzvir, Tzifet HaChfranz, the Rabbi Yerushalayim. He quotes this, again, not in the name of Chaim, but presumably with Chaim to the same idea. L'ma davar domer, says the HaTzvir, source number 10, L'av shehotia levno hanimtza v'makom rochok sheyovo elo v'hakilo v'hashkoto. The father asks his son to come help feed him. V'haben kosher lo lovo ragli. It's hard for the son to come by foot. It's obvious that the child has to pay for the train ticket. Ah, you're going to tell me that Kivud Av Aim, the obligation, the financial obligation is on the father. You could go by foot, it's just you don't want to. So you're paying for your own convenience. You're paying because you don't want to walk for 3 days straight. And therefore, you're paying for yourself, and you're not paying for the mitzvah of Kivud Av Aim. This is just background to the mitzvah, and therefore, the child has to buy his own train ticket. And he can't say to his father, if you want me to come, you have to pay for the ticket. That's the shita of Reb Chaim, Tzifet HaChfranz. Although it's not clear that everybody agrees to this. There's a Tosfos in Kedushin that seems to imply that if Kivud Av Aim is Michel Av, so the father has to pay for the train ticket. And Tosfos even wants to say that if Michel Ben, maybe the father would have to pay for it, because the keyboard itself is not the keyboard itself. It's only the background. It's only the background. Maybe everybody agrees that the father should have to pay for the background. That's what the Tosfos in Kedushin, Nachman Beis, that sounds that way. So this question, it might be an afkamina between these two understandings. You know, we have two understandings as to why there is an opinion in the Gemara that the father has to pay for the mitzvah. Either because the mitzvah is defined as serving, not providing. And serving is just, it's not buying anything. You just serve. You just serve the cup of oranges. You don't have to buy it. A. Or B, maybe the mitzvah is a mitzvah of anul chavera that is subject to the limitation of the kasuv of efes lo yevicha evi. So, just briefly, two nachminas to this question. The first we just mentioned, the question of chotza'ot aderech, you have to pay for the travel expenses. So if you say that the mitzvah is ben anul chavera, so you might say, what do you say now? Pardon? Right, if the mitzvah is Hotzat HaDerech, you'd say that you're still potter, because the mitzvah is, excuse me.
The travel wasn't part of what we're doing.
Right.
Being there. The travel wasn't part of what we're
doing. Right. Meaning, if the mitzvah is, thank you. The mitzvah is a ba'alpha mitzvah, so Hora, you're a potter. But if you say the mitzvah is one of serving, so when it comes to the serving you don't have to pay for. You don't have to pay for the serving. But to get there, maybe you should have to pay. That's the suggestion that I'd like to make. People disagree? Yeah.
So just, it's not so clear in the Hartzvi, but at least in terms of the story of Chaim, meaning some of us have to take into account, you know, Tzchar Batala or what you could be doing theoretically otherwise.
So the question is explicitly that even though you don't have to spend money for Kibbutz Aim, you do have to give up your time working. So if you're a lawyer making, you know, $300 an hour, so you have to give that up. Even the man the Amar, Mishal Af. That's what the Gemara says explicitly. So I don't know if that would be necessarily relevant. But what I just want to repeat what I said, because I hope it made sense. I hope it was clear. But the question becomes, why the man the Amar, Mishal Af, do you not have to pay money? After all, most mitzvahs have to pay money. So one understanding of Chazmish, the mitzvah is to serve, not to provide. Okay, so when it comes to the oranges, you don't have to pay for the oranges. When it comes to the plane ticket, maybe you're chayav, maybe you have to pay for the plane ticket, you just don't have to pay for the oranges. That's what I want to suggest for the Chazanish. Yeah, you'll agree? You hear what I'm saying? Whereas, if you say the general p'tur of Efes Kiloya Chave Evyon, that, listen, when it comes to certain types of mitzvahs, we don't want you to become impoverished performing the mitzvahs. So even when it comes to getting to their father, there's no obligation to spend $1,000 to, you know, for a plane ticket to go visit your parents somewhere, because when it comes to these types of mitzvahs, there's a custom of Efes Kiloy Yechav Evyon, which bothers you from paying money for those mitzvahs.
What you're saying is simply that the getting there is part of the sheirut, not part of the cost. Therefore, you're higher.
Right, getting there is part of the sheirut.
Or it's enabling sheirut.
What do you mean by sheirut?
Pardon?
You can go by Sheirut.
You can go by Sheirut to do the Sheirut. Okay. Yeah.
So then, meaning in theory, like what you said before, the father just wants his kids to visit. Is that one of the big...
Right.
If he wants you to visit to see him, so then maybe you say according to the one the Sheirut that you would have to go. But if he just wants you to come...
To visit. I think the post can assume today, you thank God, you know, people have young parents, they don't actually feed them, dress them. The assumption of the post can is that just spending time is included in that. It's being around, that's also part of the mitzvah of Kiyav. So I think the same halacha would apply.
If it's something the father wants.
Yeah.
Anything the father wants would be considered.
Within reason. I mean, if he wants you to come, if you live in Israel, he wants you to come every Sunday, so I don't know if you're obligated, but, you know, something that's within reason, it would be. Another nafkamina, a little theoretical nafkamina, the question of whether or not when your father asks you to get the orange juice, again, you don't have to spend your own money. You can ask him for money. But let's say you want to spend your own money. Is there a kiyum mitzvah by telling your father, listen, I'll pay for the juice? Is it a kiyum mitzvah? So there's a Ketzer Mishnah, which I didn't put on the sheet, in Hilchos Mamrim, who assumes that there is a kiyum mitzvah. Even if you hold the Mishal Av, if you want to pay, and you do pay, there's a kiyum mitzvah through that. So another nafkamina, is there a kiyum mitzvah? again, I think if you decide to pay, even though you don't have to pay for the Jews, if you want to pay, there's a key mitzvah, you can be totally in on the tachira. According to the Chazon Ish, the mitzvah is to serve. So if you give it money, it's a gift. It's not a mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah. But if you hold, there's a chasuv of lo yecha ve'evyon, so that's a p'tur. If you don't want to take advantage of the p'tur, if you want to, for example, you lost your wallet, your father lost his wallet, you want to forego your wallet to save his wallet, that's a wonderful thing. So l'chor is in kiyum mitzvah of kivav ein, even though there's no obligation. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
If we're going to go with what you just said, that Sheirut was any, what was launched in that category is whatever the father wants. So let's say it's our Hashol Chem case of the father not wanting to spend his own money, he wants you to buy it.
Right.
That there, meaning then what you were saying is that if you go according to the Havidus, whatever the father wants,
right,
Sheirut thing, so then. Say,
the question is, if he wants something is irrational, is that something that you have taken? Just like he wants to come every Sunday from Israel to visit him, is
that
irrational?
Like
yeah, not every whim that he has is necessarily a kiyum mitzvah of heart. But that touches on a greater question.
It's complicated.
It's
about what a person feels a need for. I don't know how it works.
Right, right. You're asking a question. I don't really know the answer to the question. It's hard to define. If you turn the page, I want to discuss briefly the halacha. The halacha is that we paskin that ideally the father should pay for his own Jews. So if he doesn't have, then the son has to pay for it. That's the accepted track in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, I'll read you source number 11. And I want to discuss the analyze the machlokas according to this opinion. The Rambam says, source number 11, that the mitzvah is on the father. If he doesn't have money, so the son is obligated to pay for the mitzvah if the father doesn't have money. So basically the halacha is that this is the, you know, A, the father pays. Plan B, if the father doesn't have money, then the son pays for the oranges. That's accepted halacha in the Rambam and in the Shulchan. And I want to analyze the machlokas according to this opinion. When the son decides to pay for the oranges, when the father is impoverished, so why is he paying? Why is he paying? Is that a kiyum of kibbutz aim? Or is that only a kiyum of tzedakah? Fundamentally, paskin mishalach. But the Rishonim writes, the father doesn't have, so this is a more limited understanding of the debate. The father doesn't have, we don't say you don't have tzedakah. We say if you don't have, the son has to pay. Why does the son have to pay? Does the son have to pay midin tzedakah, or does the son have to pay midin kibud ave? This is the machlokas HaRishonim. If you look here at source number 12, the Rif writes, Ve'echad the Rava Haben, the son is wealthy, the av blessing, the father is impoverished, kaifinan le laben, we force the son, v'shaklinan minei betoreth tzedakah, ve'avina levua. The father has to pay midin tzedakah. The Rif writes that you have to pay, you pay midin tzedakah, whereas, if you look at source number 13, the Rizpah says the father doesn't have money, the son has to pay. Why does he have to pay? Because mitzvah kibud avim is a great mitzvah. The impression from the Rizpah is that it's a din in kibud avim. The mashmos, the Rizpah, explicit mashmos, the Rizpah, there seems to be a steer in Tosus in this regard. Tosus, the Kedushan Lama Beis, begins by saying it's a chiyuv tzedaka, then the continuation sounds like it's kibud avim. There's a question, you know, what the Rambam holds. The Rambam brings this in Tosus Mamrim with Dine Kivud Aveim. It sounds like it's Dine Kivud Aveim, although others, the Kesemisha says it's Dine Tzedakah. So there's a debate about in the Rishonim, why is it that when the father doesn't have money, again, we pass him, we shall have. Father has to pay. A, option A is the father pays. The father doesn't have money to buy the Jews, the son has to buy it. Why does he have to pay for it? A, the Torah is Tzedakah, or B, it's the key of Kivud Aveim. Yes. Right.
And the Ritva saying only in a case where the son does have money.
The Ritva is
saying. There's
no
point in the Rishonim to say that the father doesn't have
the
son.
Right.
Have,
the Rishonim.
The
Rishonim
itself goes even far further and says that even if the son doesn't have, he has to collect money.
Right.
That sounds like a concept. Meaning poor people who themselves don't have
money, do they get stuck up? So we're going to get to that in a second. There's really a debate how to learn the Yerushalmi. When I presented the Yerushalmi at the beginning of this year, I presented the Yerushalmi as being Michel Ben. The Rishonim learned the Yerushalmi is saying that's really Mishalach, but if the father has that money, then the son has to pay for it. And then it sounds like potentially it's Tzedakah. It's a little unclear in the Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says how great Kibbutz Av Eim is, but then as you're pointing out, you know, it's your Kafin and Lay.
It really was in the Kibbutz Av Eim.
Yeah. Right, right. So I want to get to that not for me a little while. When the son is poor, why would he have to collect? Is that Akiva Vein? Yeah.
Is
it sort of
the normal
deal
of stuff? Not
code, that's oh, so we're going to get to that in a second. Very good, excellent. So you already both of you just raised the questions, issues I want to discuss. The first is the Nafamina of being Kozel of Psalchem. Do you have to collect money if you're both impoverished? The father's impoverished, the son's impoverished, Rechon and Islan. Does the son have to go collect money to support his father? So the Yerushalmi that I quoted earlier, source number 2, says yes. But the Yerushalmi says that halavai om halacha should be this clear that you have to, you know, you can force, you can collect, you have to go get staka, and you have to force the son to do so, etc. But if you look in the Torah, in source number 15, the Torah passage is not like that. The Torah passage is clearly if the son is poor, he doesn't have to collect money to support his father.
There could be different things within Yerushalmi. The son of Rishon Bar Yochai says that in Yerushalmi. But you just quote about Kofin, doesn't say
yes. Okay, at least Rishon Bar Yochai in Yerushalmi. So we have Nafkaminas here. How could this be Talim on the Chakira? L'chazer al Hafsachim, collecting stuff yourself to support your father. So, if a person's poor and he has a friend who's poor, does he have an obligation to collect money to support his friend who's poor? So Adam claims no. And I think he's right. Meaning, if you're poor, you still have a minimal chiyuv of tzedakah, even if you're poor, which is like a very small amount of money, a yearly chiyuv. But, you know, I don't know what the equivalent is. What's the shear or something? A certain amount of shekel. It comes up to like 50 shekel or something. Pardon?
The coal fence.
So the minimal is here, but all things being equal, you have no chiyuv to collect money if you're poor to support another poor person. So if the chiyuv for the son to support his father when the father doesn't have money is a din in tzedakah, so it makes sense that the son himself is poor, so he should be poter. And that indeed is the opinion of the Torah. But if you assume that the chiyuv is not an aim, so maybe you're chayev. Yerushalmi says you're chayev. One opinion, Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi says you're chayev. Maybe you're chayev, if you think Kibbutz Av Eim is such an important mitzvah, that's the mashmos of Yerushalmi, such an important mitzvah, that even if you're poor, you have to go collect money to perform this mitzvah. So this question of whether or not the father is poor and the son is poor, is there an obligation for the son to collect money to support his father, the chazer of Stockin, that's the debate. If it's a din in stock, it makes sense you're pater. If it's a din in Kibbutz Av Eim, maybe you're chayev. Okay? Second afternoon. How much money does a son have to spend to support his father? So when it comes to the world of tzedakah, there's certain shiurim. You know, a person who can afford it should ideally give 10%. And the Gemara says, assume it, that you're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah, why not? We're concerned that you're going to become impoverished yourself. You have such a good heart, you want to help everybody, give your money away and you'll become poor. So unless, as we're trying to say, you're extremely wealthy, you shouldn't be giving more than 20%. There's a cap of a chomish. So the question becomes, to what extent, again, the father, if he has money, he's supposed to support himself. If he doesn't have money, the son's supposed to support him. How much money does the son have to spend for his father? What's the shear for the son? So the Beit Yosef writes, verse number 16, Masha Kosov, im ein la'av, yish l'ben kofin el sov, ezan es aviv, the father is poor, the son has money, the son has to pay. The kafi mashu yachol, it's Lashon HaRambam, kafi mashu yachol. Kein pasku shom harif arosh, v'tosfos, verse number 16, v'kosv shekein pasuk ha-she'iltos, v'kein pasuk ha-rambam, v'nire, says the Beit Yosef, sh'afo v'yish yish lo, eno chayv l'safiv kol mizanosov. The son doesn't have to, you know, support the father fully. We make the son give all his tzedakah money to the father, but we don't make the son give more than he would be obligated to give. So if the son himself, you know, even though he's not poor, he's not a millionaire, so he only has to give, you know, a chomesh, 20% of his earnings. So says the Beit Yosef, the shear is kimo tzedaka. You've no obligation to give more than a chomesh, more than 20%, because it's a din in tzedaka. But the Radbaz, it's very interesting. The Radbaz argues, he quotes the Beit Yosef, and he's medayik in the Rambam, the exact opposite. The Lashon of the Rambam, if you look at Source number 11, the Rambam says, "In ein l'mamon ma'av, the father doesn't have poor, but yesh mamon l'ben, the son has money. Kol v'inosol, you force the son, the zon aviv, he has to support his father, his mother, kafi mashu yachol." So the Beit Yosef learns from the words kafi mashu yachol that he only have to pay like other tzedakah. Says the Radbaz, Source number 17. The son has a lot of money. You have to give him a lot. Even if the son is relatively poor, he's medayik in the Rambam, the same Rambam as the Beit Yosef was medayik, kafi mashu yachol, says the Radbaz, as much as you can, meaning even more than a chomesh, as much as you can. So both the Beit Yosef and the Rabbis had the Lashon HaRambam in front of them, and one of them said, it's limited, it's like stuck. And that's the Beit Yosef said. And the Rabbis says, Kafi Mashi Yochal means as much as you can, even 40% and 50% of your earnings. You have to support your father as much as you can. So the question of Shear, so Mashahu Yochal Yoser Yochal, which even more than a fifth. This, if you say it's din kibab aim, it might be telling you in this chakir. Maybe if it's din tzedaka, so if shiur when it comes to tzedaka, you have a shiur, how much should you give? But if it's din kibab aim, maybe the mitzvah is such an important mitzvah, it would require a person to give even more than a fifth of their earnings, again, which is in contrast to any other mitzvah. The din of chomesh isn't just the din tzedaka, it's in all mitzvahs that day. But maybe kibab aim is an exception, maybe kibab aim is so important, hishva kasuk. A kvodam, a kvodam, a makal, you have to give even more than a fifth of your earnings to perform this mitzvah. That's the suggestion. Okay. And then last nafkamina is the question of forcing the son to support his father. Let's say the son, you know, isn't interested. Well, it is. Ideally, the father pays. If the father doesn't pay, the son pays. The son doesn't want to pay. So can you force? Can you force the son to support his father? Again, today we don't have a Beis Din that forces anybody to do anything, but once upon a time, the Beis Din had a more significant status in the community, and if people weren't acting accordingly, the Beis Din could, you know, force people to do, perform, you know, they force you to pay tzedakah, they force you to do other things. So the question is whether or not, when it comes to keeping up aim, in this case, would you be allowed to force the son? The Yerushalmi said, as we saw earlier, source number 2, that you're allowed to force the son, second class line, source number 2, Asar of Yaakov bar Acha, Rishmuel bar Nachman, Shem Yonatan, Kolkin et ben Lazun, Esav, Amar of Yossi, Halavai, Havien Kol, Shmuasin, Vririn, Kahade, Shekolkin et ben Lazun, Esav, Halavai, all halacha should be as clear as this, that you force the son to pay for his father's needs. So Yerushalmi says you are Kolkin. But the Bavli, which I don't have here on the sheet, the Bavli in Chulin of Kuf Yud, says explicitly that you can't force a child to support his parents. The mitzvah of Kibbutz Aim is a mitzvah shematan schara v'tita, it's a mitzvah that the reward is explicit in the Torah. And we can't force people to do mitzvahs if the reward is explicit in the Torah. If the person sees the reward and isn't interested in doing the mitzvah, tis loss or loss. We have no ability to force. That's the Gemara says
of Ksuv. What's the point of Kofi Mashiach at any rate?
Well, that's in order to give a get to free the woman. There we do a lot. Sometimes you say you can force, sometimes you can't.
So is there a definition for, or that's not our issue?
Well, it's not a mitzvah essay, it's a matan skar b'tzida. It's a different mitzvah. Sometimes we force, sometimes we don't force. It's an interesting topic. Again, it doesn't sit so well with us. We live in a society where nobody wants to force anybody to do anything. And maybe that's a good thing, I'm not sure. But either way, it doesn't sit well with us. But there is a concept of forcing, and it's limited. So the Gemara says in Ksubis, and in Chulin rather, Kuf Yud, that you can't force a son to support his father. So we have a close Bavi Yerushalmi, as I mentioned. When it comes to tzedakah, also we have two dayas in Tosfos. If you look at Tosfos in source number 18, there's two dayas as to whether or not you can force somebody to give tzedakah. There's a simple reading of the Gemara that you can force somebody to give tzedakah. So just the upshot, there's different ways to explain this as we're running out of time. Briefly, the simple understanding of the Gemara in Subis is that you can force somebody to give tzedakah. So if the chiyuv here is within tzedakah, the pashas is mutar lichpos. Because that's the simple understanding of Subis, that you're allowed to focus on it, that gives one day in Totsus, but it's a simple understanding of Subis. But if it didn't chiyuv have an aim,
so tzedakah you can force and kibud avayim you can't?
That's what I want to suggest. That for tzedakah you should force. Again, it's really a debate in both in terms of tzedakah, today in Totsus, on the sheet, and it's a machlokes, Babu Yerushalmi, when it comes to kibud avayim, but what I want to suggest, basically, is that even if we assume that when it comes to kibud avayim, that fundamentally, ain kofin, in this case where the son is paying because the father doesn't have money, so maybe if it's in tzedakah, we'd be allowed to be kofin. If it's in kibud avayim, so I would say ain kofin. That's what I want to suggest. You can argue with it, it's not mukhach. I totally agree. Yeah? So that's what the Baram Shik says. If you look at source number 19, it says the Baram Shik, a very interesting point, which is essentially what Adam is suggesting. Venerally, Kavanosos, and he's a Kaimelon to keep covered with Shalas. You call him calling in La'av, Yisla Ben Kaimelon, Viardea, Zivudi Vetosfos, the Kofinus of Ben. So we just established, as we mentioned, that you fundamentally have an obligation on the father to pay for the mitzvah. The father can't afford it, the son has to pick up the slack and pay for it. Miu Mash Mahasam, the Hainu Vitar stuck. So the son has to pay him, he didn't stuck. Tzarech Biur, this is Adam's point. Din Kain, Lamali Tam the Kibur. The Alke, I'm not sure, Vishum, the Tztaka, Lohayalo, Humachuyov Ze, the Asma. The Gamachayim, Nezrael, Hayasrichim, Lesayelezeh. If it's really didn't stuck us, it'll collect from everybody. The father doesn't have money, so everybody should pay. Why do we make the son pay? Imishu Mitzvah Kibur Av, the aim, becomes the Meachayim, Yegnai Lo. Says the Maram Sheik that it's really fundamentally a din tzedakah. But if it's a full halach of tzedakah, then you should clap in the shul and everybody should collect money for this poor father. We don't do that. We make the son, we should tell the son to pay. Because if we would make a clap in the shul and say the father is poor, everybody should give money, it would be a design to the father that his son isn't picking up the slack and paying for his father's needs. So it's a little hard to be marked here. What emerges is that it's fundamentally a din in tzedakah, but the way we collect the tzedakah, we only go to the son to collect the tzedakah. Because if you would collect the tzedakah from everybody, everybody would say, what type of son does this person have? Embarrassing for the father. Okay, you know, word gets out why they're collecting. I was just in a shul in Pat this past Shabbat, and the Sfardi shul, and the Gabbai gets up, and so the woman came to the shul this Friday, and she has this and this problem, and they went around, and they must have raised a few thousand shekel. If everybody's like raised their hands, 100 shekel, 200 shekel, and they went around, it was like, well, beautiful. It's brought down a post game, you're supposed to do that. You know, sometimes if there's a need, this is a very poor neighborhood. I don't know if you feel familiar with Pat, it's not a wealthy neighborhood. Anyway, but it's embarrassing if this woman, for example, has her son in the shul, and you know, they say, oh, this is Goldberg, although her name probably wouldn't be Goldberg in that neighborhood. This is whatever, Ashkenazi, right, is very poor, and she needs money for her chashmal and her mayim, and her son is sitting there, that would be a bizayan to her. And therefore, it says the Maram Shik, it's fundamentally a din.
Not to him, mind you, because somebody else is paying.
It's fundamentally a din in tzedakah, but the way we collect tzedakah is that we don't collect it evenly and equally from everybody. We collect it only from the son, because it would be a bizarre to the parent to collect tzedakah from other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even without that, it's not a typical din in tzedakah, because there's no chiyuv on the son to give tzedakah dafka to his father. His father has the son.
There is a halacha of karov kodem, that if you have a poor person in your family, you're supposed to funnel your funds to your family members.
Based on relationships?
Based on relationships. It's based first on relationships and then based on physical distance. Yeah, niyeh ircha, niyeh yeracheret. But there is a halacha like that.
So it's within tzedakah.
Within halacha tzedakah, yeah.
It's not sounds like it's not, when you're spending the money, if you're saying that let's say was going to show up, sounds like it's not necessarily according to Mom's shape. It's not like a keto mix to go to the end,
mm-hmm.
spending that money. It's sort of like an interesting, like Gennai versus
it, it's more of a design. It's more, it would be like an sort of Mora, let's say, you know, of not, the I think included on the sort of Mora, in economics. It's not really like, they get a point. It's not really a din in kibbutz aim. It's more an isser kibbutz aim. It's a din in tzedaka. But the way you collect the tzedaka, you have to make sure that you collect tzedaka in a way that wouldn't violate the honor of the parents, the mora of kibbutz aim, and therefore you collect only from the son, even though it's a din in tzedaka, and tzedaka usually is collected from the entire community. And so just to summarize, the kitzer, we raised the question as to whether or not the mitzvah of kibbutz aim is fundamentally on the son, just like a child has to buy a lulav or buy matzah, he also has to support his parents. That's what kibbutz aim is about. Or is the mitzvah of kibbutz aim fundamentally on the father, not the mitzvah, but the monetary obligation, the financial obligation of paying for the mitzvah is on the father, and the son only has to serve the father. That's the debate in the Gemara and Kedushin and that Lama Beis. And the Gemara concludes that the chiyuv is mishal av. The Yerushalmi sounds like it argues and learns the chiyuv mishal ben, although some Rishonim reinterpreted the Yerushalmi as saying that it's only a chiyuv mishal ben if the father doesn't have, as we discussed a minute ago. We analyzed what exactly the debate is. Is it an extremist debate that the man of mishal ben says it's only mishal ben, when the Amar Mishal Av is only Mishal Av, or is it more subtle? Maybe it's Mishal Av if he has. If not, the son has to pick up the slack. Or Mishal Ben if the father doesn't have, etc. And we try to explain the svaras for these opinions. If it's an extreme debate, we raise two possibilities. Either the mitzvah, again, Mishal Ben is obvious. You have to pay for any mitzvah, so you keep having it as well. Why should it be Mishal Av? Either because the mitzvah is not to provide, but to serve. Or there's a concept of Efes Ki Lo Yevcha Evyon, which teaches that one is not obligated to spend money on certain types of mitzvot. And we raised some nafkamidas that question. And then, the second half of the shir, I essentially discussed the accepted opinion of halacha that fundamentally the chiyuv of the father to pay for the mitzvah, but if he doesn't have money, the son has to pick up the slack. And we raised the Hakira and the Chokas HaRishonim, and the son picks up the slack. Is that a din in tzedaka, or is that really a key of kibbutz aim? And discussed a number of nafkaminas to this question. I just want to conclude with an idea from Reb Tzadok from Lublin. So number 20, the Pitzad, in Parshas Chukosai, he writes, so number 20, V'afsha umos gamkin osim mishpat kibbutz aim. The mitzvah of kibbutz aim is performed not only by Jews, but also by Bnei Noach. In fact, the Gemara tells us that we learn kibbutz aim from Bnei Noach. Right? Bnei Noach sometimes serve as an example. The Gemara tells a very beautiful story of Dabo ben Asina, who was a righteous Gentile, who didn't want to wake up his father to get the key to his treasure chest, where he had a stone that the Kohanim wanted to purchase for the Choshen HaEphod. They were willing to spend huge sums of money on it, and he didn't want to wake up his father to get the key. So he is the paradigm of Esav. Also, is usually brought as a paradigm of kibbutz aim. So the Goyim perform this mitzvah as well. Achim osim rak mitzad haseichel. They do it because they have an akaras hatov, the function of thanks to the parents. Rak mitzad haseichel mechagim veYisrael afilu amishpatim osim rak mishem shemayim. He said mitzvah Hashem. Says Reb Tzadok that we perform the mitzvahs not only because Hashem, because it makes sense, but also because Hashem said, or he writes only because Hashem said. V'zeh ma'achnis bo kedusha. K'mo sh'anu mavarachim b'chol mitzvah s'asher k'dishanu mitzvotav sh'b'chol mitzvah ma'achti kedusha. And Reb Tzadok claims that the kedusha that emanates from the mitzvah flows from the willingness to do the mitzvah, even if we don't understand it, just because God said. And he quotes the Gemara Kedushin, Ki Avishami Kalad Harad Imei, when Tarfon, I think, heard his mother coming, he heard her footsteps, Amar Eku Mikami Shechina. He said, I want to stand up in front of God. Meaning he likened his parents to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aim isn't just the mitzvah of Adam the Chavero, but it's Adam Lamakom as well. Ha'im Shabitala Mitzvah Shorah Bakedusha Shemosh Ne'emar Hashokhin Sotnei Yisrael Yidah Shechina Valzeh Ne'emar Ki Asher Tzipcha V'maron Kain Dita Mitzvah Hashem, etc. So Rav Tzadok claims that the mitzvah When we perform it, it is not only a mitzvah of Karas HaTov, but it's also a mitzvah Bein Adam Lamakam. I think that the Rishonim point out that's why the schar for Zalman Ben Asina was that he had a paraduma born to his herd, and the next year he sold the paraduma to the Kohanim, and he made more money than he would have made on the stone that was destined
so
for the
post.
So why was his schar, says the Darshanim, to get the mitzvah paraduma? So it's to highlight the fact that it's true, we have to learn from the Bnei Noach how to perform mitzvah tichliot, but in the end, the Kohanim were willing to spend even more money on what? On the paraduma. Because Klal Yisrael does not only mitzvah tichliot, they need to do even mitzvahs shimios, mitzvahs, you know, what's known in Chazal as the chukim, not only the mishpatim. So, I want to thank everybody for coming, and it's a tremendous gift to be able to give the shir in memory of Ilyin Shvat, my mother. I usually try.